Question number 12325. René Kisray, reel 8.
Captain Kisray, reel 8.
They showed themselves being cowed. No, no. Not all of them. But communists are really very courageous, very brave. I met them and I saw them. They were ready to do anything against the fascists and the Germans. They were wonderful. And it's funny. Once I was called in Bari, and I was suspected to be a communist myself, because I was doing my job very well. Then I was called, and they asked me who my mother was at Bari, who my father was, how I was British, and why did... I was furious. Then I called, it was a colonel who knew me, and Bruce Lockhart, all three were really very alarmed of this. Then they went to see the boss. But he's doing a wonderful job. He's by patriotism, what he's doing. I hated to live with the communists for months and months in the same room. I hated it. But I had to do it for our job. Then they gave me alone.
Well, left did me you alone. Have anything to do with SOE? The British SOE?
Yes, I met some of them. Because I met a certain major whose father was a famous Dutch writer in Capri. I forgot his name.
Did you cooperate with them, with each other?
I never knew myself. It comes always from the top. I was always not in the top. That Colonel Bruce Lockhart and Bowlby, and I give you the name now, he was... Admiral or something like they were the big boss who was doing. I know I used to receive instruction and follow them. I wasn't in the big thing because I was only captain. You know, by the way, when I became captain, I was in Naples. I had Hispano Adriali who stitched my third people in my area. While I was in Naples, one morning I saw the Vesuvio. The volcano erupted, and Reale asked me to go with him, and we went to Pompeii. It was fantastic, really, something unbelievable, because when we approached, we saw the lava coming down from the mountain, coming down, and trees like this, like dancers, before the lava approached, they come to bind little by little, down completely. And when the lava comes, it goes over. And about 15 meters before the lava arrived, already you see the trees move like dancers, you know, little by little. It was fantastic. And before we...
On the promise of a referendum.
Yes.
Did that actually take place while you were there? And could you tell me, you know, about the sort of activity
yes.
connected with it?
As we promised at the time of this strike in Naples... A referendum took place much later, in June 1946. In that time, the king, Victor Emmanuel III, abdicated in favor of his son, Umberto II, who reigned only 35 days. And referendum gave victory to the Republicans. And when the Republicans came, immediately, all the friends I have not mentioned to you, Saragat became president. Pertini became president. Nenni became Minister of Foreign Affairs Deputy Prime Minister. Romita became Minister of Labour. Reale became Under Secretary of Foreign Affairs. Spano, Under Secretary of Agriculture. And I kept all my relations with them. I carried on to see them. Until one day... There is a senator, Giuseppe De Michelis, who was a very close friend of my family. He was the president of the International Trade Union of Geneva. He told me, you know, I heard something very funny. There are some American people who are here dealing with some Italian officials to create a line. A line. The same day, Foglia telephoned me. He told me, René, I want to see urgently. I want to see him. He told me, look, Valletta asked me to tell you that he has been approached by some American and some official Italians. They want to create an airline between TWA, because the American was one manager of TWA, married to the sister of Colonel Gallo, General Gallo, who was the head of the civil aviation in Italian. Then between both, and Valletta had been, and Valletta told Foglia to tell me that their aim was to eliminate Britain in the discussion. They wanted to eliminate. When it was De Michele who told me, saying Valletta told me so, I reported immediately to my office. My office, under my direction, Elizabeth was the secretary of John Collins. I told her everything with my bad English, and she managed in good. And we sent the cable to England, to Foreign Office. No reaction. Sometimes later, John Collins called me, told me, René, Matt, we are in trouble. What? The Marshal Brody was the he was the head of Naples, I don't know, a big man. He was from Aviation Marshal, he was, Air Force. He want to see me. Come with me. I went with him. Then Marshal Brody told John Collins, I received some news from London. They heard that there is some pourparlers between American and Italian for a line. Collins had forgot about it. It was 1 month before, a few weeks before. Then I told him, sorry, sir. We have sent the report. John looked at me. What? I said, yes. If you call Elizabeth, she will bring the report. He telephoned Elizabeth, who came quick with the report. All the story with details. I told about the Michelis, about Valletta, everything. Then Brody was amazed. Then he told me, what shall we do? I told him, well, I manage it. With the help of Colonel Bertoni, I hired some jeeps with loudspeakers and telling them to shout in the street of Naples or of Rome that some intriguing Italian politician are selling the aviation, Italian aviation to the American. But, you know, it was against the Atlantic Charter, because the Atlantic Charter didn't allow a country who has been who lost the war to be under the people who win the war, you know. Then a few days later, I was called at my office. I saw a Mr. Delanger, who was manager of BE at that time, yes, and Commander Wolfson. They asked me what it was about. I told them what I heard. I told them about the report we sent a few weeks before, and we had no reaction. They told me, we must do something, we must stop this question. Then I started, after this, I told them what I have done with the loudspeaker and all these things. And they told me, what do you think we should do? I told them, I know that there is a sir, an Italian, with Sir Serrao, who looks after British interests in general. We should have contact with him, see what juridically what he can do. Then they called Serrao. I met him. I told him what I heard. Serrao spoke a little English, but he was rather a politician than he wasn't sincere. I didn't like him. Then he told me, you know, if there is something like this, only the IRI, Italian, the E-I-R-I, is the only official outfit, I don't know, official office who could deal with this, because IRI is the money, the traditional money of Italy. Then I went to see some of the head of the IRI. And at that time, the chap of TWA heard about my maneuvers. Then he called a certain George, General George from the state, who came. And at the same time, I informed our office, and again, Derlanger and Wilson came. And we had a meeting at the Grand Hotel. We were General George, I can't remember the name of the manager of TWA, Erlanger, with the sleeves here in the room, the whole day shouting at each other. At last, the American didn't want to give up. He said, all right, you create your society, we create another one. Then there was an agreement like this. Then Erlanger told me, you know, I'm leaving as president of BA, and there is a certain Whitney Strait, who used to be the manager of Rolls-Royce, who will take over. The next time, Whitney Strait came, with always Commander Wilson, and I have been dealing with the Italian side, with the IRI, you know, IRI. I saw many people. I can't remember the name of all of them now.
But the deal was done, was it?
Not yet at that time. Until it was that arrangement between the American, that the American gave up. What they said, you do what you like, we do what we like. That the American created lie. LAI, with this general, Colonel Gallo, is the head of mission, whose wife is sister of the head of the TWA. And we created Alitalia with 40% B interest and 60% Alitalia. Italian, IRI, not Alitalia yet, IRI. They wanted the president. Then I proposed Senator De Michelis, who the first warned me about, with Valletta, warned me about this story. Then they asked me to go to England with this Senatore De Michelis, whose son was married to an English girl. Then the English girl, with Senator and myself, we went to London. We had been received by, you know, and we were at the Dorchester, and he spoke very good French, De Michelis, and he explained everything to them. What he heard about, from the beginning, he didn't tell me from the beginning. He didn't tell me that he heard that they wanted to eliminate the British. It's Valletta who told me that. Then he became the president of Alitalia, the first one. And I was still in the army at that time. Then sometimes later I received a letter, I have it here, I have the letter from Erlanger, telling me to let him know when I am demobilized, because he would be very pleased to have us, to have me as commercial advisor to BA, because we were looking at the BA and BOEC also. And Alitalia at the same time, with the Michelis, appointed me commercial advisor. And one day, I was in, you know, we were, one day they sent a comet, the first time the comet came to Italy. And they asked me, as a liaison officer with the other, to invite the prominent Italian people interested in aviation. Then I invited Fiat, Aerone, how do you call it, that the car, Italian car, very famous.
Oh, the one beginning with a B.
It has been, and I invited Alfa Romeo, all people who were connected with the aviation for the engine or something, and they sent me. No, first Comet came for the first time, and we tried on. It was the first time the Comet flew for out from England. And I saw something fantastic. We left Rome. Half an hour later, we were back. We saw Marseille back already. It was fantastic. Then for this story about, they sent me a plane. I can't remember the name of the plane. And I took all these people with me. We went to London. I have photograph of all the crowd. We déranger tout le monde in London. We have been received, and you know, we have visited Rowe. We have visited many. You know, we saw the Brabazon when he was still built, and all these things. And we had a big party, and the first two American plane boat, I bought them myself from a Peruvian society, airline, who went bust. I bought them from Peruvia and brought them to Rome. And I opened the line between Rome and London, Rome and Paris, and Rome and Tunis. I officially went with the crowd.
That seems very appropriate. Well, I better not go too far on right. in the post-war situation.
Right. What else now?
But if I could just really round off your story. You know, you seem to have had a very interesting war.
Yes.
In the British intelligence services, which is remarkable considering you didn't speak English.
Oh, yes.
When you came to England. You know, I'm wondering about the language.
I became an officer, I couldn't speak English. You know, I spoke very badly. You know.
Were there many people like you?
No.
You know, these very.
No. You know what was very amusing? That when I was in the rank, the corporal in the morning, we would, you know, the squad. Squad number. Smith, when he arrived to my name, he couldn't pronounce it because Kisraoui was very. I was fed up. Even my friend, when he became an officer, all officers never called me Kisraoui or René, Mac all the time. Then, among the officers who was with me in Cairo, there was one who was a solicitor who was discharged in 1944 or 45. He told me, "Why don't you change your name? What do it?" I leave O-U-I and put it Y, Y, it will be easier.
So you're Kisraoui.
Yeah. And I have my dit pool, and I have the newspaper, Times, everything. And even my MB was on the name of René McKisraoui. Since then, it was said in the dit pool that never more I will mention my old name. O-U-I. Because it was unpronounceable in English. By Greek, I become Kisraoui all the time. It's finished.
Yes. Did your war experience give you satisfaction? You know, you explained
yes.
how earlier on you didn't want to go into the intelligence. You wanted to fight.
Yes, at the beginning, yes. When I started, after my trouble in the desert, I wasn't expecting at all to go back to Tripoli with Captain Page. Maybe interesting the question of the deceiving program and to go and fetch the two friends who were shot in Amphidaville. I didn't know that, but you know, one that I told you before. One thing after the other, I have been pushed in all this story. But something very amusing, very interesting. Since I got my commission, I have never lived with other officers in MS. I had always been by myself alone. I don't know why. It's very funny. When I was in Tunis, I was in my house. When I was in Naples, I had with. When I was in Rome, I was with this lady who married. When I left Rome after the trap, just up to the end of the war, I was in myself, my office alone. I have never lived with others. I don't know why. It happened. I never looked for it, but it happened like that.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Captain Kisraoui, for telling me about your really fascinating experiences and for showing me your medals and citations. Thank you very much.
That's all right. It's a pleasure. I wanted to. You know, I have written all this story I'm telling about now. I don't. Are you interested to know what happened in Korea? Because really, in Korea, it was something